This is Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. The day of the Lord draws nigh. And this is a time to hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord. In a scripture in Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his household. And Jesus made it clear that at the end of the age, the time preceding his second coming, because he was coming back to receive his people and to set up his kingdom, would be as likened to the days of Noah and to the days of Lot. The life would be moving on, people buying, people selling, people building, people planning, marrying, giving in marriage, eating and drinking, but wicked, corrupt. The time of Lot, God was so outraged with Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities in like manner, in that plain, he sought to destroy it. But he delivered Lot, because Lot was a righteous man, a just man that was vexed with the filthy behavior of his culture. And God sent angels to get him out of harm's way. Because fire and brimstone, as it rained upon the land, it looked from a distance like a furnace. To this day, Sodom and Gomorrah are no more. Fear the Lord and give him glory, because he is commanding all men everywhere to repent. All men, everywhere, repent. And trust in the Lord. Trust in his kind grace. God has given you every single thing you need to walk pleasing before him. The life of Jesus, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of faith and revelation of the Word of God. God changes us, he washes us, and regenerates us. We can walk as dear children before him, walking in love, being considerate of others. It's very simple what the Father is looking for. But cursed is the man whose trust in his heart, himself, because the heart is deceptive, deceitful above all things. Be careful with your heart, lest you not hear the voice of the Lord, lest you not fear him when he speaks, and that day come upon you unawares. The times of Noah, wicked, corrupt, very evil things were taking place. God spared Noah and his family. God makes a distinction. But Noah loved God. Noah feared the Lord, and he obeyed the Lord, and he was delivered. Consider the event of the Passover. God had his people, the Hebrews. They had been slaves under a tyrant, Pharaoh, a king, that made them slave. They did not have their own land. They did not have the liberties to worship God without restraint. They were in a land of corruption and idols, immorality. But the fullness of time came when God was going to deliver them. And God used Moses. God instructed Moses to take a lamb without blemish or spot. And it was to be killed. They were to take the blood, the Hebrew, and as many as would believe. And they applied the blood to the lintel and the doorpost. And when the death angel came in the time of judgment on Egypt, when the blood was seen, the death angel passed over. Thus we have the event, the feast of God, the Passover. And see, we're told in the New Testament by Apostle Paul that Christ is our Passover. And Paul urged, let us keep the feast, but not in wickedness and in malice, but in sincerity, in truth. Jesus is without leaven. He is unleavened bread. He has no sin. He has no spot. And he, through his faith in his blood, the judgment of God, because of our sin, passes over. And we have life and deliverance. So, in a time of judgment on the land, God had deliverance This is what we see in the event of the Passover. And God performed many mighty signs and wonders and miracles for his people. And he led them forth out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. It parted. And God led them in the wilderness. And we need to learn this because this is basic to our faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat all the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." This is a very heavy scripture for us. It teaches us, it admonishes us, it instructs us. It shows us clearly the people that went before us in the faith of God and in the Messiah, how they were punished because of their disobedience, the sins that grieved God, that outraged him to the point where he killed them, and they did not enter into the land of promise. We're to take heed. If we think we stand, take heed, lest we fall. It's so easy to assume a relationship because of something in the past or whatever else type of imagination we set up in our subconscious. But we need to be eating Christ daily. Every day, sufficient bread. Give us, our Father, our daily bread, our daily spiritual food, and our daily spiritual drink, and abiding in Christ. And if we abide in him, and he abides in us, and his word is abiding in us, then we are one with him, and his nature flows through us. But we're not to murmur. In these times of judgment, when the economies fall apart at the seams, and people lose their jobs, and lose their homes, and lose their safety, and tyranny and oppression take force in the land, with fear and anguish and plagues and pestilence and conspiracies to harm people take place, you need to have your faith in God, your deliverer. Trust in him. He can feed you. He can take care of you. He can protect you. But don't be caught up in the ways of the world, thinking that God would judge the world but not judge you, and you're in the same sins. This is an iniquitous nation, the United States of America. It's a nation of fornication, a nation of pornography. And it sends pornography around the world, defiling the world, defiling the people. And God has called us to chastity, to sanctification, to possess our body in holiness and separateness. And we're to enjoy sexuality through marriage, a man and his wife, to be one. And this is how it was since the beginning, regardless of what they teach in the schools, what they teach in the media, what they teach you. And the nation is taught, and you're under the influence of an iniquitous nation. But I urge you to be as like Psalm 101, to walk blameless in your house and set no wicked thing before your eyes. So you have an environment of fellowship with the Holy God. They were in fornication, and 23,000 died. They murmured against God. They provoked him and tempted God. They lusted after evil things. They even had other gods, other loves. And they went in the wilderness for 40 years. And God swore in his wrath that they would not enter into his rest. These things are written for our admonition, because this is a time of judgment and deliverance. And it is up to you, your choice, what you will partake. One of the first things the Lord taught me as a new Christian was that Jesus was my example, not the people, not the religious people, not the church people, but Jesus. And it didn't matter that most people did this, or most people did that, or most people compromised in this area or that area, but the Lord required me to walk with him. And he requires humility, because all this, walking with God, is by grace. It's by the change and the transformation that he offers by the working of his Spirit. So we have nothing to glory in ourselves, but it's our requirement. And Jesus pointed this out. He said, after you've done the will of God, after you've been obedient to God, he says to say, I am but an unprofitable servant, for I've only done what was commanded of me. That's the attitude that we're to have. In Revelation chapter 12, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 3.5 years. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and a times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman,